I think one really big theme that we always see in Paul's epistles that is just is always there, and we see it here as Brother Emil is talking about our resources and Brother Tony talking about the resources that we have. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. And we see it in Romans when he says in chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek." And then also in Corinthians, Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God," once again. And then Paul, once again, he emphasizes it in Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's all. We see a beautiful example in Paul, in his devotion, in his dedication, his close-knitness with the gospel, the testimony of our Lord. And this is how we ought to be, that his whole life, the desires of his heart, his passion was centered around this beautiful gospel that is the power of God.
How are we doing so far? We've taken it in? We're taking notes? It's very practical. As you see, you're having resources to help you with all of your circumstances. Now, we have a few minutes left, so Brother Chuck, lead us on for what's the exercises.
One little verse that is the Old Testament compliment that we had a couple of years ago with Samuel. "Them that honor me, I will honor." Take that with you. Latch on to that verse. Whether it's carrying Christ at work, whether it is with your peers in the meeting, just remember, that's an all-inclusive principle that the Lord gives us. If you think of the wonder of such a verse, "If you honor me, I will honor you." Our God has said that to us. And so we lay hold of that. And it is life-changing. It is a life-changing principle. Now, the verse that we've got in 9 and 10, let's couple them together. Who has saved us? It's not a question now of whether we've been saved. He hath saved us, and he has called us with an holy calling. How thankful, young people, it was not a calling according to our works. Our works were as filthy rags. That's what they were. He's called us not according to our works. But do I realize that God has purposes? Tony has reminded us of that. The church is going to be presented to Jesus. Jesus is going to present it to himself, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Let me tell you something. That is going to happen. That does not depend upon the faithfulness of man. That is according to God's own purposes. That is going to take place. But he says, not according to our own purpose and grace, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But do you know something? Something that was given before the world began is now plain, open, and clear, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished or annulled the power of death and has brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. So what a wonderful place we've been brought into. Get your eyes off yourself. I'm saying this to me. Get them off of my circumstances. Get them off of the world that I'm passing through, and get lined up with the purposes of God that he is going to accomplish. Do you know what it'll do for you? It'll give you stability in an unstable world. It'll give you direction. It'll give you purpose if you have your eyes fixed upon what he is doing. God is able to complete. He is able to do these things, and we need to be lined up with that, don't we?
If we have our eyes on the Lord, let's go back here, verse 9. He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to what we've done. We've added nothing to it, could add nothing to it. But according to his own purpose and grace. Wow, we've got... I'll finish the verse, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. The purpose of God. Here we are, it's a world, affliction, problems. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I conduct myself? And we have the purpose of God before the ages began that is presented to us. God has a purpose. Infinite. Divine, sovereign God, who had a purpose before this world was created and brought into being, before the ages began, there was that in his heart that had included you and me. And that purpose wasn't only before the ages began, but his purpose is continuing on for the ages of eternity to come. And you and I are included in that purpose. And so he gives it to us. He's saved us. He's purposed to do that. He's called us with a holy calling. We realize that he had his eye on you and I before we ever knew him. When Christ died on the cross, he knew you. You weren't even born yet. You hadn't committed a sin yet. But he died and suffered for it. Paid the punishment for it. He saved us. He called us because it's not what we had done, but it's this purpose, and it's in his infinite grace that he has done so. Not because we deserved it, but his grace made it be. And I bring that out because as we consider the difficult day, the purpose of God, and realize that he's above all the difficulties of the day, then what an encouragement for our heart to realize that nothing's out of his control. His purposes will stand and nothing will derail them. And we can find our peace in that assurance that he will bring about in his way, in his time, all for the glory of his own name.
What makes them secure and sure? They are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's number two here. Everything is in Christ Jesus. When you feel that you're secure, that's why you shouldn't be ashamed. God's purposes are going to be accomplished no matter what man is trying to do. No matter what man is trying to do. They try to do everything. Look at the history of the Old Testament. Every time God's purposes will stand sure because they are in Christ Jesus. And that's what Chuck was saying earlier about having our eyes now of all of these circumstances, looking at God, it's going to happen. It is secure. It is. So I'm not going to be ashamed. I know what is the end results. I know.
I know who has won, don't I?
So I am on the winning side. That's why I'm not going to be ashamed. I am going to go on victorious, not obnoxious. No, the power here does not mean to be obnoxious. The power is really trusting in one. God had secured everything in him, and he secured me in him. And I'm walking in this scene saying, I have all of the resources, all of the tools, everything I have with me. I am not going to be ashamed because I know the results. I know who's the winner. I know the battle is already won. It's just a matter of going on one step of the way. That's what will give you power. And that will give you discernment when you come into facing something. Should I do this or not? I'm going to be always and ever on the winning side.
I'd just like to add one comment quick, if I may. We've been talking a lot about having a clear conscience, having been equipped with all these tools that we can use to fight this battle for Christ. I would just like to caution us that the biggest thing here is truly love. Because we see that Timothy, he was concerned for the church because he had a great love for it. And he was concerned that it had fallen. We've spoken about this a lot today. And I would like to challenge us. I actually received a note from a sister that said we should especially not have timidity, as you were talking about earlier, when we share with fellow believers who are doing wrong. I challenge us, all of us here, as far as I know, are saved. There may be some that are not. But we here have a love for each other. I challenge us that if we truly have that love for one another and we know that someone else is doing something wrong, we begin this battle not on the streets with unbelievers, but truly here amongst one another, bringing each other up in that truly in that true love and chastising each other, obviously speaking in grace and truth, because we have been armed. And Timothy starts out speaking about not the world, but the church. And like was said earlier, it's easy to go into a foreign country and speak the gospel, because there you're not worried about what your peers will think, because there's no one who knows you. You bring nothing but the gospel. But here, in your own homes, in your schools, in your classrooms, there is where the battle is truly difficult. So I would just like to encourage us that we start right here, that we start with one another, that we would encourage each other, lift each other up, and if there's something that between each other needs to be settled, that we would do that, and that we would do it in love.
Our time is gone. I do want to encourage us in our groups tonight to look at verses 12 to the end of the chapter, but especially 11 and 12, and be a good beginning point for us tomorrow. We do have time for a hymn. And then I ask you again, because of the eating arrangements, that we will quickly leave and go on, and we'll be through the lunchroom by the time the adults get there. 2:18, I think it is. Maybe we could stand and the brother would give thanks afterwards.